entwined as if they're embracing. So we'll walk on a little way from here. We just went through the Goshala with all the cows and calves. And we'll continue on the Prikram path here, which is the old Yamuna bed. And we'll reach the Taliya Ghat in a few minutes. And there we'll sit and we'll tell one story there. This tree dates back from Satya Yuga. It is so old. It is an inconceivably old tree. So first thing that we should do is place our shoes to the side, and then we should circumambulate the tree three times, and then touching the base of the tree, there's also some roots here, offer our obeisances to this exalted personality. Before the sun sets, we were saying this tree dates back from Satya Yuga. So there's a long story behind this tree. Part of the story we know already from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But according to the Puranas, during Satya Yuga, Kasyapa Muni had so many wives. And two of his wives in particular were prominent. One of them, apart from Aditi and Diti, which we know of from the Bhagavatam, one of them, her name was Vinita, and the other one's name was Kadru. So Kadru was the mother of Kaliya, and Vinita was the mother of Garuda. So just as sometimes if a man has many wives, there's some rivalry or competition between the wives for his attention, so this Vinita and Kadru, there was something between them. And Kadru was very argumentative. And she was always a little envious of her co-wife, Vinita. So one day, in a very challenging mood, they were sitting and they saw the sun god on his chariot, or the sun, passing in the sky. And they could make out the form of the sun god on his chariot. And Kadru asked Vinita, her co-wife, "What color are the horses on the sun god's chariot?" So Vinita looked and she said, "They're white." So Kadru said, "What color are their tails?" So she said, "They're white." So then Kadru said to her son Kaliya, because she had some envy in her heart, she said to Kaliya, "You go up there quickly and cover the tails of the sun god's horses." Then she turned around to Vinita and she told her, "All right, whoever's right and whoever's wrong in our questions, the one who's wrong will have to serve the other one as a menial maidservant for the rest of their life. So look again and tell me, are the horses' tails white or black?" So at first Vinita was a little afraid because she knew Kadru's temperament. But she looked and at first she could see that they were white. So she said, "No, they're white." And then Kaliya appeared and covered the tails, and then Kadru said, "No, look, see, they're black." So then, as a result of this discussion between them, Kadru arranged that Vinita should become her maidservant from that time on. So Kadru, a long time went by, and Vinita was always very unhappy by this arrangement, but she could do nothing about it. So eventually her son, Garuda, he grew up. And then he noticed that his mother always seemed very unhappy. So one day he asked her, "What is the cause of your unhappiness? Why are you always look so miserable?" So Vinita didn't want to tell him, because she didn't want him to be unhappy also. But finally she told him what had happened. So Garuda thought, and then he decided on a plan. So he went to Kadru and he said, "Is there anything that I could do or give you that you would release my mother from this agreement to be your maidservant?" So Kadru thought about this, and she thought, this is interesting. So she said to Garuda, "Yes, there's one thing. If you give it to me, I will release your mother." So he asked, "What is that?" So then Kadru said, "If you go to the heavenly planets and you get the Amrita of Indra and bring that here, a cup of this Amrita, and give that to me, then I will release your mother." And she also warned him that, you know, there are so many guards there. Indra never allows anyone to steal this, but if you can get it, I will agree. So Garuda immediately, instantly flew to the heavenly planets, and he fought with the guards, and he captured one pot of this Amrita. Then he flew back down here on his way to giving this to Kadru. And as he was passing by, he dropped a drop of that nectar at Ujjain, also at Nasik, and he also came here, Haridwar, Prayag, Nasik, and Ujjain. He dropped some drop, and this is what this is the meaning behind the Kumbh Mela, this nectar, this Amrita. So then he came here and he dropped one drop on this tree, because he had an understanding that now it was Satya Yuga. But when Dwapara Yuga came, then his master, Sri Krishna, would appear here in Vrindavan, and he would rectify the envious nature of Kaliya, his brother, stepbrother. So he knew that this tree would be very important in that pastime. So he placed one drop of nectar on this tree, and then he went away. Anyone wearing glasses should watch out. Wear them, but be aware. So then, after that time, there was one sage called Subari Muni. And he came here, and at that time, the Jamuna was flowing here, but just in this area, it was like kind of a lake. The water in this area was separated from the main Jamuna flow, and it was flowing just near where this tree is. So there was one sage. His name was Subari Muni. And Subari Muni, he was 10,000 years old, and he decided to perform austerities here in the Jamuna water, standing here in the water through the summer and the winter. And he was standing naked, not eating anything, not sleeping, standing simply in the water day after day, day after day, for 10,000 years. He was such a mystic yogi. So he was standing here, undergoing this particular austerity. And at that time, as we know the story, Garuda came here. And he swooped down, because he was a bird, it was his nature to eat fish. So he swooped down and he caught one fish, and it happened to be the leader of all the fish. And Subari Muni had, previous to that, he had warned Garuda, because he became sympathetic to the fish. We can see that if someone associates with anyone, they develop sympathy for them. So therefore, because the heart is like that, we are warned to be very careful that our association is of an elevating nature. So here Subari Muni was associating with the fish. So he sympathized with the case when Garuda came and he took the leader of the fish and flew away. So Subari Muni, in order to protect the fish, thinking in a limited way, he placed a curse on Garuda and said that if Garuda comes here anymore to this place to disturb this fish, then I curse him that he will die. So of course when Garuda heard this curse, all he could do was laugh, because this was just an ordinary old yogi, nobody very special, even though he'd been meditating for such a long time. And Garuda is the eagle carrier, the eternal servant of Lord Vishnu himself. So what could an ordinary yogi do? So thinking like that, Garuda just ignored him. And Subari Muni continued to practice his yoga austerities here. But Subari Muni, out of his limited idea of compassion for the fish, he actually committed a great offense. So it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that there were three offenses that Subari Muni was guilty of. The first one was that he dared to order Garuda, who was so superior to him in every way. The second one was that he unfavorably obstructed Garuda in his natural activities. And the third one was that he actually cursed Garuda. So for these three offenses, he became punishable. And so what happened was, just as we see ourselves, if Vaishnava Aparad is committed One devotee offends another devotee. What is the result? What is the reaction that one obtains for that offense? The result is that material desires begin to grow in the heart of the devotees concerned. So Subari Muni, he began to develop material desires. And then, because he had committed this offense by his association with the fish, seeing the fish engaging in family affairs, he began to think to himself that I've performed austerities for 10,000 years here, but what have I got for it? Just like we see even sometimes devotees speak like that. I gave everything to this movement, I collected so much money, I did so many things, and what have I got for it? I haven't got any security, I haven't got any of my desires satisfied, so I think I'm going to have to leave and be independent and take care of myself, because no one's taking care of me. So in this way, Subari Muni also thought. So he thought to himself, this is, you know, I've done this austerity, and I think now, as a result of this austerity, I should find myself a nice wife. This was the material desire that arose in the heart of the yogi. So he left the Jamuna, and he went nearby to one king called Mandapa. And when he went there, Mandata, I'm sorry, when he went to this king, he approached the king, but he was an old man, all shriveled up from being in the water, all wrinkled and white-haired and bent, and he wasn't at all attractive. So he approached this Mandata king, and he said to him, I want to marry your daughter. But this king had not one daughter, he had 50 daughters. And they were all very beautiful and very young, and they were all of marriageable age. So when the king saw this bogus old yogi, with all of his wrinkly skin and everything, he thought, now I'm in great difficulty, because he can curse me very easily. But how can I make him the husband of my daughters? So he decided to be very courteous, and he said to him, you know, we should have some swayambar, and then my daughters can see if they want to marry you or not. So then the Subari Muni thought, oh, this king, he's very intelligent. He's using some politics to try to dissuade me. So then Subari Muni said, I have one request for you. He said, you take me to the palace where the queens, where the princesses are, and let them see me. And if they want to marry me, then you will arrange. So the king said, yes, he had no choice. So Subari Muni transformed his body, because he was a yogi, into a very young, handsome, charming-looking young man. And the king took him to the palace, and all the 50 girls saw him, and every one of them wanted to marry him. They each one fell in love with him and said, oh, he's the only person I want to marry. So Subari Muni became very pleased with himself in his new, young, handsome, young body, and he expanded himself by his yogic powers into 50 forms. So he married all 50. So just see how expansive his material desires had become. So for 10,000 years, Subari Muni lived like that with his queens. And he had 50 palaces, and in each one, he enjoyed all of the pleasures of worldly life. So at that time, one day one of his queens said to him, look, like we see, the sun is now setting. It is time to say our mantra, Gayatri Mantra. So when Subari Muni heard this, suddenly at that point it struck a chord in him, and he realized that actually the sun is setting on my life. I've already had 10,000 years before, 10,000 years in the Jamuna, and now 10,000 years of enjoying all sorts of royal pleasures and happinesses, but soon my life will end, and I haven't gained anything. So he came to his sense, and he remembered from his previous understanding that actually his life was meant for austerity. So he again, due to his offense to the Vaishnavas, he was being punished. But it says here that contaminated desires rose out of attachment to the fish and angered at, because he was angry at Garuda. So he lost his spiritual ecstasy, and for the price of his youthfulness, created by his austerities, he bought a horde of beautiful women. Thus he enjoyed his offense. And later, having taken shelter again of the Jamuna, he was delivered. So when he came to sense, he returned here to the bank of the Jamuna, and at that time he also obtained the shelter of liberated souls who gave him proper direction so he could go beyond the yoga process to actually becoming a Vaishnava. So meanwhile, this is the story of what took place here. And it's interesting to note that compassion shown by an offender, somebody who is an offender of Vaishnavas, their compassion has a contrary result. Since by the curse of Subari, that was the reason why Kaliya came here. So all the benefit that he wanted to give to the fish in saving their lives, protecting them from Garuda, all was lost to the fish. So this is the difference between material compassion and spiritual compassion. So because he was thinking of saving the fish, he had done like this. But as a result of this, as a result of what he had done, everybody died. Not only did the fish suffer, but everybody died. All the trees died, everybody died, because his compassion, misunderstanding of how to deal with Garuda caused him to act in such a way that Kaliya came instead. So Kaliya, knowing, because he had also, as we know, a relationship with Garuda, he was his brother, stepbrother, but they were always opponents. And we know the story of how Kaliya used to live on an island, and Garuda used to sometimes, he was supposed to leave some offering for Garuda, and sometimes they would fight. And so Garuda became angry with Kaliya, and by attacking him, Kaliya decided that his only safety was to come and live here at this place where Garuda would never come. So he came here and he lived here, and the whole lake became poisonous. So we have read from the Bhagavatam how Krishna and his friends, they came here to drink this water, and they saw that all the trees had died and all the grass had died. And only this one tree was alive and very green. But the boys, by the influence of Yogamaya, as we heard yesterday about Yogamaya, who covers their so-called their intelligence and allows them to act according to the requirements of Krishna's pastimes, they, under the influence of Yogamaya, they came here and drank the water. So when they drank the water, they all fell down dead. And when Krishna saw that all the boys had died and all the calves had died, he became very much concerned. And then he understood what was the cause of this. So as we know, he climbed up onto this particular tree. And it is said in the Nectar of Devotion that Krishna is known as an immaculate dresser, because just before he went to jump into the water to chastise Kaliya, he tightened his belt. So he looked very charming. And then he ran to the edge of the, along the branch, jumped up in the air, and landed in the water. And the splash from his landing in the water, although he's a small boy, went right up in the sky. And when Kaliya heard this splashing sound of Krishna as he moved his hands around here and there, Kaliya understood that somebody has come to attack me. So Kaliya appeared on the scene in an angry mood, to see who is this who has come to my place and what do they want. And when he saw Krishna, he was so beautiful that Kaliya became actually charmed. And it is said, interestingly enough, in the commentaries on this particular story, I think it is Sanatan Goswami, explains a very interesting point. He says that Kaliya, because he saw Krishna and thought he was so wonderful, when we hear how he grabbed Krishna in his coils, and Krishna appeared to be as if dead, he was embracing him. He wanted Krishna to come very close to him. So he took him like that and he was embracing him. But because he was so sinful, his embrace appeared to be just like as if he was trying to kill Krishna. And all the other commentators don't mention that little special point. They say that he was angry and he tried to kill Krishna. But the secret little note that Sanatan Goswami has indicated. So then all the residents of Braja, they noticed that there were many inauspicious signs. And then they realized that that Krishna had gone that day out without Balaram. And they became very worried. They saw that there was all kinds of trembling and different things. They were shivering and they could think that something very dangerous has happened. And there was one old man nearby and he saw what was taking place. So he ran quickly to the village and told everybody. And when they came here, they were completely senseless. When they saw Krishna here in this area, in the water, wrapped in the coils of Kaliya. And Mother Yasoda tried to enter that Kaliya Hrida. And Balaram stopped her. And when the ladies held her, she was crying and crying, but she became petrified just like a statue. Seeing Krishna in that condition, she could hardly retain her life. And then she fell down fainted. And Nanda Maharaj also, he was thinking that he should also enter into the water. But again, Balaram assured him that actually there can be no danger to Krishna from an ordinary serpent of this world. Don't be afraid. There is some plan here. My brother will take care of this. So after some time, Krishna remained in that position until all the residents of Vrindavan, their love for Krishna reached such a height because seeing him in such danger, they became overwhelmed with anxiety. And then when Krishna realized that if he did not release himself from that situation, the residents of Vrindavan would actually lose their life in anxiety, then he actually expanded himself in such a way as to release himself from the grip of Kaliya. So there are two different accounts, other than the Srimad Bhagavatam, of the story of Kaliya. So I would like to read those. It's by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Sri Astadas Chandastav, which are 18 prayers glorifying different pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam pastimes of Krishna. So he says, O Lord, who seeing that the lake of the Jamuna was filled with snakes and burning with virulent poison, and seeing that every living thing approaching the lake met with death. Seeing that every living thing that approached the lake met with death, and even the bird Garuda could not approach it, he cheerfully and proudly climbed a Kadamba tree. So here we are at the site of this very same Kadamba tree. So how fortunate we are. This is the glory of these trees, that Krishna's lotus feet were actually placed on the branches of this tree. So if we pray to this tree and beg the mercy of this tree, that please you be merciful to me by giving me some revelation within my heart of the nature of Krishna's pastimes, the tree is real. The soul within the tree can do that. So we should understand that this is a very significant darshan that we're having of this great personality. It would be difficult to find a more ancient and a more experienced servant of Krishna in all over Vrindavan who's been living here and serving since Satya Yuga. That's millions of years. This is inconceivable to us. But actually, this is the reality. So then he says, O Lord, who made a great tidal wave running to 4 cubits high, O gall of the devotees, O Lord, who violently splashed the water with your powerful arms, and who made a great sound, and who at once surrounded the fear, who was once at once surrounded by the fearful and cruel eyes on the red jeweled hoods of the angry Kaliya serpent, but who was ready to set the world on fire. O Lord, who enjoys the pastimes of a child. O Lord, who smiled when you became trapped in the serpent's coils. O Lord, whose smiling face was gazed upon by the cowherd men, their wives, children and elders, who suffered such sharp pain that even their garments were beginning to slip from their bodies, and who were loudly crying in anguish and wanted to dive into the lake, but were stopped by the words of Balaram, and who became stunned and motionless. O Lord, who expanded within the grip of the serpent's coils, who removed the anguish of your friends, who became like Garuda. O Lord, who displayed terrible power. O Lord, who broke free from the serpent's grip, happily jumped on its red-jeweled heads, and enjoyed there a great festival of transcendental dancing. O wonderful boy, whose locks of hair moved as you gracefully danced. O Lord, glorified by Brahma and Shiva and all the demigods in the sky, who, happy to see the demon crushed, showered you with flowers. O Lord, who was gazed at by Yasoda, who became very happy to hear the women joyfully say, O friend, take a good look now at your son, who has all the restlessness of childhood, who glanced from the corner of his moving eyes, who is so handsome that he enchants and eclipses the god of love, who is now breaking the great pride of this serpent, whose transcendental hand is now raised in the air, who playfully moves his head from side to side, whose budding smile is now beginning to blossom, and whose necklace moves to and fro, and who, out of love for you, is now dancing before you. O Lord, who ferociously crushed the demon. O Lord, who with transcendental happiness is the crown of the god of love. O Lord, who again and again jumped from one of the serpent's hoods to another. O Lord, who was prayed to by the serpent's many wives. O Lord, who is very kind and gentle at heart, who made the king of the serpents fearless, who was joyfully worshipped by the serpent's wives, who was anointed by them with fragrant substances, and who wears a white lotus in his ear. O Lord, who was very kind to the serpent, who delighted his friends and relatives, and bowed before the feet of his elders. O Lord, who your mother joyfully kissed without delay. O ocean of mercy, O treasury of the precious jewels of transcendental pastimes. O Lord, who stops any flood of distresses from approaching your surrendered devotees. O eternal Lord, please be kind and compassionate to me. O Lord Krishna, with its crooked motions and the sharp fangs of its wicked desires, the great snake of my mind torments the entire world. O all-powerful Lord, O crusher of Kaliya, please punish that snake of my mind with your dancing, and please place on it the mark of your lotus feet. So this is a prayer offered by Srila Rupa Goswami. And Sri Sanatana Goswami also describes this pastime. He says, one day, as he was enjoying pastimes by the Jamuna shore, Krishna, the son of Nanda, heard that Kaliya had again come to his lake. At once, going there alone, he climbed a kadamba tree and dove into the lake, making its waters very turbulent. Playing in the water by wonderfully swimming backwards and forth and making many loud sounds, Krishna approached that demon who at once wrapped his coils around the Lord. Playful Krishna then showed something. Now this is very interesting. Not seeing Krishna, who had left their company, the gopa boys became as if they had died. Tormented by the desire to find him, they saw his footprints and followed them to the lake. When they saw Krishna could not move, his friends fainted. When they could not see him at all because he was covered by the water, they no longer wished to live. Standing by the shore, the cows, bulls, calves, and other domestic animals from the village, as well as the wild animals from the forest, all cried, fixing their eyes on Krishna's face and screaming in agony. Crying pitifully, the birds flew over the lake and dived into the waters. The trees and other plants became dry and withered, and many great calamities happened. Sent by the Lord, an old man ran to Braj village, crying and terribly calling aloud, "Alas, alas," he described what had happened. Seeing many fearful calamities, the people of Braj left their home and hurried to find Krishna. The old man's broken words were like a thunderbolt falling upon them. In his home, Balaram called out, "It's a lie, it's a lie. and he consoled the people of Braj, who had become like running corpses. He carefully convinced Mother Rohini to stay at home, and then he also ran with the others. He quickly came to the lake, and seeing his younger brother in that state, he could not remain peaceful, but he cried in the agony of love. He lamented again and again, his cries breaking wood and stone. In a moment he fainted, as Nanda and Yasoda had already done. Then everyone let out a great, painful, terrible cry that made the entire world cry also. Awakened by this great sound, Balaram, the crest jewel of the Soba, with a great effort regained his peaceful composure. And crying loudly, they began to enter the lake, but Sri Balaram forcibly stopped them with his hands. Seeing everybody fainted as if they were dead, Balaram became filled with pain. In a voice choked with emotion, he loudly called out to Krishna. Balaram said, "These people are not your associates in Vaikuntha. They are not your monkey associates. They are not the Yadavas. They are the people of Goloka. You are their only life and soul. They are all dying now. I have no power to save them. Look, they are now lifeless. O merciful Krishna, O only friend of the people of Braja, give up this pastime, or your gentle heart will become filled with grief." Sri Swarup said, this is a story from being told by one boy Swarup from Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So Sri Swarup said, "Crying with many words of lamentation, fainting, their bodies filled with pain and their hearts destroyed by grief, the gopis entered the lake as if to go to the Lord's side. Leaving that pastime and freeing himself from the bondage of Kaliya's coils, and climbing on the serpent's thousands of raised extended hoods, Krishna stretched out his two lotus hands. Then, bringing his gopi beloveds, Krishna climbed up the very wonderful jeweled pastime place of Krishna Kaliya's hoods. And with splendid singing and instrumental music, dancing with the gopis on these very wonderful dancing places, Krishna, who is an ocean of playfulness, enjoyed the wonderful happiness of the Rasa dance." So this is another time. Many, many times this pastime takes place, and each time it's slightly different. Staying on the shore, and now brought by Balaram to consciousness, Nanda and the others gazed at Krishna and became filled with joy and wonder. After subduing the serpent Kaliya, smiling, Krishna forcibly took away the upper garments from the serpent's wives as they offered prayers. Making these garments into a single long rope, piercing the serpent's nose and threading it playfully, Krishna held the rope in his left hand. Then Krishna, playing his flute with his right hand, rode the serpent as one rides a horse and made it go here and there. So this is a very mysterious rendition of this pastime. Sometimes prodding the serpent with his flute, he made the serpent his carrier, showing it great mercy. Accepting the priceless jeweled ornaments and the garments, garlands and ointments of the serpent's wives that were offered, Krishna placed them on Kaliya's hoods. Then with many lotuses, water lilies and other flowers, the serpent's wives brought from the Jamuna, Krishna decorated both himself and the gopis. As the serpent king offered prayers with his countless mouths, Krishna emerged from the lake, making his friends and relatives dance with joy. Then, from Kaliya, who was very happy to have attained a very great mercy that even Garuda could not attain, very wonderful Krishna descended with the gopis. Flooded with streams of tears from the happy eyes of Nanda and the others, again and again they embraced him and offered arti to him. Krishna, after mercifully giving some instructions, sent the serpent king out of the lake. pleased by a great and beautiful festival of singing, instrumental music, and other festivities celebrated by the happy gopas and gopis. The Lord then went to his own home. So this is one particular rendition. It says that sometimes it would be done in different ways. We know that in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna, and they could not drink that water. Nobody could drink the water. They were all very tired. And they feared that if we leave this place, some further danger may come. So they wanted to stay there for the night to make sure that Kamsa would not do anything to punish them. And they stayed in that place, and it is said that at that time the forest fire came, which is known as Davanala. So we cannot understand these things by our material calculations, but there is a kund called Davanala Kund on the other side of our temple. But it is said also that it was here on the bank of the Jamuna that fire took place. And Krishna, as we know, he swallowed that fire and saved all the residents of Braja. And it was his mercy, because they were so worried, that he stayed for the night out with them so that they would all get his association instead of immediately returning to his home. So these are some of the aspects of the pastimes that are related to this particular tree. So we should take advantage of the fact that we've come here. We should perhaps return now before it gets fully dark. We can proceed down the Prikram path and return. But again, before leaving, you can place your prayers and requests at the feet of this tree. There are many wonderful trees in Vrindavan, but this one is the most senior. This is the most senior and the most prominent. So we have the great fortune of taking this tree's darshan. Meanwhile, in Vrindavan, trees are male, by the way. It's not a she, it's a he. And the vines are female. They're lata. They're female, and they like to entwine themselves around the branches of the trees. So we can offer our respects here. If anyone has any points or questions to ask about the pastimes here, anything to add? Yes.
Did Kadru get her nectar and release the maid servant oil?
Yes, Kadru got her nectar and she released Vinita. Yes. When she got her Amrita. But Garuda got the last laugh because he got to chastise Kaliya. Anything else? Yes. Yes, in that particular rendition of the pastime, the gopis went into the water and they began dancing on Kaliya's head. It also describes that there was a whole palace. Kaliya had a whole palace and a kingdom made out of water. It's very mysterious, we can't understand. When we see water, we think of it in one way. But he had a whole, like a crystal palace where he lived with his queens. So these pastimes are very extraordinary. And Krishna, he didn't mind so much Kaliya, but he didn't want that he should trouble the residents of Braja by creating poison in this way. So he stayed also overnight to assure everybody that now the lake was free, free of all kind of poison. And all the trees again miraculously grew after Kaliya had left. And some people say, and Srila Prabhupada would say, some people say, that Kaliya, he went to live in Fiji. This is a well-known story. We don't know if it is true or not, but Srila Prabhupada liked to tell that. So when he went to Fiji, he installed the deity of Krishna Kaliya to commemorate that particular fact. Any other points? So we should offer our respects to the tree, and we can head back chanting japa towards the temple.
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.